to TalkToTara.com, home of profiles, where you'll find many more fascinating, relevant interviews with best-selling authors and your favorite celebrities. Intelligent talk for intelligent people. TalkToTara.com. Welcome to Profiles. I'm Tara. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Diane Levin, PhD, co-author of So Sexy, So Soon, The New Sexualized Childhood and What Parents Can Do to Protect Their Kids. Thong panties, padded bras, and risque Halloween costumes for young girls, t-shirts that boast chick magnet for toddler boys, sexy content on almost every television channel, as well as in books, movies, video games, and even cartoons, hot young female pop stars wearing provocative clothing and dancing suggestively while singing songs with sexual and sometimes violent lyrics. These products are marketed aggressively to our children. These stars are held up for our young daughters to emulate and for our sons to see as objects of desire. Popular culture and technology inundate our children with an onslaught of mixed messages at earlier ages than ever before. Corporations capitalize on this disturbing trend, and without the emotional sophistication to understand what they are doing and seeing, kids are getting into increasing trouble emotionally and socially. Some may even engage in precocious sexual behavior. Parents are left shaking their heads, wondering, how did this happen? What can we do? Welcome to the show, Diane.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, as I was mentioning, great subject, very important topic. You write in your book that you too apologize in advance for how distressing parents may find the first part of your book.
Yes, what we realized when we were writing the book is a lot of the content is depressing, hearing what's going on out there, hearing the kinds of things that are coming up with parents and children and what parents have to deal with and how it's affecting children. And we realized that there's a lot of depressing stuff, but at the same time, we didn't want to take it out because we feel that the first thing that we need to do in order to figure out strategies for responding is understand what's going on and how it's affecting children. So the book really tries to do that in a way that helps parents connect with experiences they're having and understand them better so that when we talk about, so here are things you can do to deal with them that'll make it better, parents have this lens for understanding what's going on. It'd be much easier if we could just say, do these 10 things and say these 12 things and it'll solve the problem. And it's not like that.
No, it's not like that. Every case is different.
Exactly.
Even though I'm sure there's obviously similarities across the board. And part of what you share are a lot of different stories from very young children all the way up to tweens, which is between, what, 12 and 14 years old?
Exactly. And, as well as then adolescent stories, yes.
Right, and so some of what's written about is children as young as 4 learning to gyrate to songs in ways that might have stunned grown-ups a few decades ago.
Exactly.
Elementary school children are looking at porn on the internet and using words such as rape and blowjob. And even young teens are engaging in oral sex. So what is going on here, Diane? Where does such behavior come from?
Okay, well, often we hear about what's happening with pre-adolescence and adolescence, and we're kind of shocked about stories that are written about friends with benefits, which is sex without a relationship, and we're concerned about the kinds of behaviors that they're acting out. And then we don't ask ourselves, how did they get to be like this? We're just upset with what finally happened. But it's starting. Children are being socialized from very young ages into a highly sexualized environment. And it's an environment where what we realized in working on the book, children are learning all kinds of lessons from that environment about relationships, how people treat each other, the role of sex within relationships. And right now, sex is being totally objectified. Sex is being children are seeing it in media and popular culture out of relationship, having nothing to do with relationship. So they're learning all kinds of messages. It's not that they're learning about sex. It's the kind of lessons that they're learning that really worry them.
Yeah, it's written that the problem is not that sex, as portrayed in the media, is sinful, but that it is synthetic and cynical.
Exactly.
What does this mean?
What it means is it shows sex as a commodity, sex as not connect. The surveys of media and the amount of sex on media is that the amount has been continuing to go up, but that what it shows is it doesn't show. When we started writing the book, I had done a lot of writing about children and violence and how media violence harms them and affects them. And it was easy to write about violence. Everyone agrees violence is bad. And you can say to children, no, we don't want you to use violence. We need to find other ways to solve our problems without hurting each other. And with sex, it's not the same. With sex, we don't want to tell children sex is bad, but they can't understand when we say sex is good, all the complexities they need to understand to understand that. And what became clear is we were trying to work out what was it that was really important here. It was that what children are being exposed to undermines what they need to do when they're young is to be able to have caring, connected relationships and learn how to do that. Give and take relationships, how to treat friends when they're upset, what to do to be a good friend, because that's how children learn ultimately to grow up and have caring, connected relationships in which sex is a part. But what's happening now is that what children are learning when they're young is to be sexy, which means to dress right, to buy the right clothes, to have the right body. And it starts with children. I've been hearing stories of 3- and 4-year-olds who are already picking up on it. And that is treating themselves as objects. They're judging themselves and others by how they look, what they can buy, and what that shows them is they're an object. It's not helping them learn to judge others by what they do, by how they help each other, and how they connect. So when we think about sexualization of childhood, sex isn't the problem. Although sex is objectified. The messages kids are getting about sex are a problem because it's not showing care and connected sex, but it's also a problem because kids are being objectified.
Right. Well, let me ask you this.
How to have relationships.
So is sexualization the same as sexuality or sex?
Not real. I mean, sexualization is connected, but sexualization is much more the forms kids are learning about how they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to look, what they're supposed to do that's sexy. And only gradually do they come to understand. I mean, my field is younger children. And, you know, there's a story in the book of a boy in kindergarten who says to a girl, I want to have sex with you. And he's heard the word. And the girl goes home and tells her parents. The teacher hadn't heard it. And the parents come in really distressed, and they're ready to suspend the boy from school. And it's not until they take the boy to the counselor before they suspend him, when the counselor says, what did you want to do to her? He says, I liked her. I wanted to give her a kiss, and burst into tears. And so there's a story in the book of a boy who asks about sex and where babies come from, and it's explained to him in an appropriate way, and he comes home when he's in second grade and he says, is sexy sex? And the parents say, what do you mean? And he says, all the boys are calling Jenny sexy. And is that the same as sex? So kids are struggling to figure out sexy, sexualization, sex. When they're young, they don't have the ability to put it all together.
So is this so different from children's sexual behavior in the past? And if so, how?
Well, good question. It's different in that kids are having a 5-year-old 10 years ago never would have been much less likely to say, I want to have sex with you, number one. That just, he wouldn't have been exposed to that kind of language and the idea that he knows it has to do with, he's learned something about sex already, which is that it's a way you show affection, which is good. Turns out, you know, which we want kids to grow up thinking that, but at age 5 to think somehow that's how you connect to another child is something. I mean, I'm a former kindergarten teacher. That issues like that never came up when I taught kindergarten. Kids might have questions about babies and where babies came from.
Well, you know, one thing I actually remember, because I was thinking about this topic, knowing we'd be discussing it. Mm-hmm. And I remember, though, when I was about 13 years old, I babysat for this one family, and they had one boy. He was like maybe 7 years old. And I remember it totally surprised me, because we were sitting on the couch watching TV, and all of a sudden he started getting really close and started like hugging me and kissing me all over, like starting to kind of attack me that way.
Right.
And it threw me off guard.
Well, I don't know your age, but what I can tell you is that it didn't just suddenly, it's gotten much worse in the last 5 to 10
right.
years.
To finish what I was saying is that I just so didn't expect it. And I was wondering, where did this come from? Did he see his parents do this? Or, you know, it was, so I don't know if this is actually a new thing, but maybe it's just gotten more noticeable or intense or magnified.
Exactly. I mean, it's always been, there's always been, kids had interest in physical issues. They always, when they heard about where babies came from, tried to figure out what it meant. They've seen teenagers being affectionate in public and often their parents as well. So kids try to figure out things they see that are kind of peculiar, that they don't understand quite. They look for what's the most different from what they know. So it makes perfect sense that a child, but for a child to start doing what you're describing, when I taught kindergarten 35 years ago, we would have worried about some kind of sexual abuse. We would have started thinking, exploring more about the family and wondering if it was something we needed to report. And that is not true now. That's the last thing you think of in terms of sexual abuse. So there's a period of time in between when things have gradually evolved. But that certainly was not the norm for boys of 7, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Television was deregulated in the middle 80s. That was when it became possible to market. And a lot of what we're talking about, I think, began then to change. You know, things began to change then.
Yeah, it's written in your book. So you're saying media, you think media has a big part to do with...
Absolutely. I mean, I think kids, what you're describing is something that child saw on television. That's not... And often kids will then act it out to see how you'll respond because they're trying to understand it. They don't... It puzzles them, it worries them. And the child may have trusted you to see what you did, to see, is it okay? What does it mean?
No, I definitely let him know it was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at that point. Right. Now, apparently these days, or it could be as well in the past, but more so, that children are learning that sex is a defining activity in relationships to the exclusion of love and friendship.
Exactly.
So it seems that, especially as they're getting older, it's like hooking up as opposed to dating and having a girlfriend and boyfriend.
Exactly. Friends with benefits, having sex without relationships, starting at younger ages. And that's exactly what I was talking about in terms of the objectification of sex. The fact that children see it as something that's not part of a broader context, that it's just something you do. And in fact, It determines popularity, you know, it becomes a kind of badge of popularity and who the boys are going to like, and it's tied in with how you look, and do you look sexy enough, and do you have a sexy enough clothes, and is your body right? So it's all objectification.
So what are the implications for children's short and long-term sexual development and behavior?
It's a kind of continuation of what's been going on in society for quite a while, You know, the post-deregulation children that I first started to study after deregulation in the middle 80s are now the parents of younger children. And all of those children spent more time watching television. More of the things they played were just imitating things they saw on television. Play is where you learn to be creative, to work out experiences. But if you're just imitating television, you don't do that as much. And it was when gender divisions started being used to market to children. We had He-Man for boys with a whole line of toys that were replicas of everything they saw on the screen. So when they played, every boy played like every other boy. And girls had Care Bears and My Little Ponies that said you just be pretty sweet and focus on how you look. And that message led to many more gender divisions and a narrowing of boys and girls play and a division between girls and boys. So that's when it began. But at this point, what it means is that it's going to be harder and harder. You know, youth, when you talk to them about it, say, well, when they're ready to have a real relationship, they'll be able to. But statistics, even for older kids who were, you know, kind of growing up before it got as extreme as it is now, we look at divorce figures and the 50% of marriages now end in divorce. We look at the number of teen pregnancies where we're still arguing what kind of sex education we have and not giving them what we blame children when they end up doing makes perfect sense, given what they've been exposed to. But we don't give them the information to counteract the lessons they're learning and learn the kinds of lessons we feel are important for their happiness and being able to become contributing members of society.
Well, apparently as many as 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 7 boys will be sexually abused at some point during their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
How does this tie in?
Well, we don't deal with that a lot in the book, but the connection is that more and more as little girls are taught to be sexy, starting at age 3, wear sexy clothes, dance in sexy ways, you know, be, you know, kind of that people are going to like you because you look cute and you're an object. The more messages it's giving men and boys, the more it kind of blurs the boundaries between what's a grown-up and what's a child. So that we have kind of women trying to look like children, and pornography's kind of, we know that pornography has grown enormously since the internet has been created. Surveys have shown, I think approximately over 50% of boys 5th grade and older say they've seen pornography on the internet.
Wow.
By accident.
5th grade.
What lessons are they getting about objectified sex, about women looking like children who have been, you know, they try to make their bodies look like prepubescent girls. The lessons that kids are getting, it blurs the boundaries, and so it makes it harder for men to make those distinctions, for men who are struggling or at risk of becoming abusers. It can push them over the edge, and people who study sexual abuse are really, really worried about how this culture is going to contribute to increased levels and make it harder for girls and boys and men in terms of sexual issues. So that's not what we address at great depth at the book, but it's an obvious next step from what we're talking about.
In the most extreme cases, the media's incessant sexualization of childhood can contribute to pathological sexual behavior.
Exactly.
Including sexual abuse, pedophilia, prostitution, and apparently girls as young as 9 are becoming involved in prostitution. Rapidly,
yes.
Much more so than in the past.
Yes, I mean all kinds of prostitution are on the rise, and that it's become, you know, the international slave trade is contributing to more and more prostitution, and that's not an area of, at younger ages for sure. But again, that's not the area of my expertise.
Okay, now talking about the media again. Apparently,
yes.
Bratz dolls are really popular among young girls.
Indeed. I mean, one of the things when we're talking about young children is the kinds of toys and whole scenarios with those toys that are being marketed to them. And Bratz dolls for girls is certainly one of the most graphic, and surpassed the sales of Barbie in 2006.
For my listeners who aren't familiar with the dolls, would you explain a little?
Yes. I mean, Bratz dolls are kind of like the next generation of what Barbie used to be. They're highly sexualized female dolls, but they have bodies that are very skinny, that some people think would have to have an eating disorder to have a body like they have. They have chemically enhanced lips. And they wear extremely provocative clothing. I sometimes call them crotch skirts. And what you do, I've interviewed dozens of people in this country and other countries, where they also are, and what girls do when they play with them is one of three things: have fashion shows, go on dates, or go shopping. And so it focuses girls on a very, very narrow range of behaviors, none of which are particularly positive for their development, all of which narrow the range of, focus on appearance and sexiness is how you're supposed to be. There's a movie, there's a TV show, there are padded bras and bikini underpants for 4-year-olds. There's whole lines of clothing.
It's like it's out of control. Because also, too, you guys talk about in the book how some parents seem relieved because, you know, High School Musical, it's a real popular show now for young children. And they feel happy their children are watching this now. But you guys say that this is actually leading kids down the same path towards sexualization as do more overtly sexual teen or young movies.
Exactly, yes. I'm glad you read the book, because you really picked up some of the important ideas in doing that well. But Disney has really come up with a major new way.